Well, Lord, we love you and we love your word. And we know that the entrance of your word into our hearts, into our spirits, gives light. But it also gives life and faith. Faith comes from hearing your word. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, that our eyes will be enlightened to know the hope of our calling this morning. That we're not called to anything ordinary, but we're called to an extraordinary life because of Christ in us. And so open the eyes of our understanding, Father, and help us to see this morning. We rely on you, Holy Spirit, to make truth known to us so that we can see what you've planned for us come to pass. Thank you, you've promised us that our latter days will be greater than our former. Amen. So, Lord, make that happen amongst us as we listen to your word this morning. Continue that work so that we can see those greater days. In Jesus' name, amen. Brilliant. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Okay. Acts chapter 4. And we come into a view here, and we're allowed to come in to look at the prayer meeting that happened on this occasion, the early church praying. And the message really that God's laid on my heart, I'm just going to speak from verse 30 of Acts chapter 4 and some other scriptures this morning. But the message that God's really put on my heart is all to do with the power of God. I want to speak the word of God, preach the word this morning on the power of God. And it's really important in our day that we're not just people who talk and speak the word. It's really important in our day that we are not just people who speak the word. We are, because the word is exalted above all things. The word is the word of God. God is. Jesus is the word, the eternal word. But it's important that we raise the bar a little bit with the power of God. We actually take the standard of Scripture as our standard for what God really means a Christian to be. And God, what God really means a church to be. And there are many things that happen in our life to discourage us from going for the power of God, to reaching out for what God has shown us in his word is his will. Whether it's previous failures or experiences, and we've prayed for things and we didn't see certain things happen. But I want to say from this point on, none of those things matter in our history. What matters is that we take the word of God and we say this morning, God wants to show his power in and through his church. And this is part of this prayer, and I'm only going to speak from this one verse in Acts 4. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders in the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What a prayer. First of all, it's perfect, this prayer, because it's in the word. And every word that you pray from the word is a perfect prayer. So it's not, I hope it's the will of God. You can't fail to pray the will of God if you pray what you read. Hello? So this is a perfect prayer because it's given to every generation of believers to take up that prayer and say, not just then, Lord, now. Today, in my day, in this time, let it be. And this speaks of not just healings. And I love it that God isn't just a healer, but that he performs signs. One of the signs was water into wine. That was a sign that Jesus gave to point to the truth that he is God. Other signs are the miracle of multiplying food, walking on water, stilling the storms, Lord over all creation, showing that he is provider, that he is the one who actually is Lord over all things. And the wonders, if you are reading, as we all are, I trust, through the book of Exodus, you'll see and read of a few of the God kind of wonders. They're making a way through the Red Sea. I mean, my faith has grown so much reading Exodus that I'm like, stretch out your hand, Lord, again, and do what you did then. And let us see a way, supernatural way. So the whole world stands up and says, Jesus is alive. And all those signs and wonders weren't just for God's people. They were for the whole world. Egypt. Egypt saw the signs and the wonders of the greatness of God. And didn't Jesus say, and it's really important we understand that Jesus said this. He said, if you don't believe my word, believe the works. The signs. So in other words, it's not just the word, and we are to believe the word. Because faith comes from hearing. You can only have faith when you hear the word. And I trust that you're receiving faith already for healings, signs, and wonders. Sorry, that's your screen. I pointed to the wrong screen. Some of you turned round when I pointed that way. But Jesus is alive, and he is the same yesterday, today, forever. The same God who divided the Red Sea. The same God who performed so many signs and miracles throughout history. It's the same God who lives in us today. And Jesus said, believe the signs if you're not going to believe the word. You know, before I became a Christian, I really didn't want to believe God. I didn't want to be a Christian. Everything in me fought against it, even though there were some Christians in my family, and one in particular, she's here this morning, Joan. And I thought it's all right for them, but it's definitely not for me. Most of you in this room probably said that at one point, but God was able to save you. And I have to say that I was pretty upset, not that she got healed, because I was excited that she'd got healed from multiple sclerosis. She couldn't walk, and she was really, really seriously ill with only one way out, which was death and disability. And so I was delighted for her because I've always loved her. She's been my nice aunt. But I didn't like it for me. Because that sign did something in me and made me go, oh no, this God stuff's real. Oh no. And it took me another 6 months before I got saved. But one day when I saw her walking when she couldn't really walk well was the day that I went, oh, I can't deny a member of my family. None of us can deny. You can't hide that kind of miracle. You can't put it under the carpet and say, I had a headache. Some people will say, well, you took tablets. But this was one of those, you can't take tablets for it, miracles. And don't we need those? You can't take a tablet for this one. You've got to have a miracle. And this is what these guys were under threat they basically said, Lord, fill us with boldness to preach your word. We still want to speak because without the gospel, they won't know about Jesus. So we must bring the message to the world. But we don't want to just go with the talk. We want the power. And they had a desire to see a continuation of the signs and wonders that were in the ministry of Jesus Christ. What we've seen and experienced and have begun to experience, Lord, we want to see a continuation of miracles in our time and generation. So they prayed. It led to them praying this. They actually prayed it. This is a prayer. Stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders through the name of your servant Jesus Christ. And the world couldn't ignore a God who is like that. And so we need the word and a demonstration of the Spirit and power in our lives personally, but also in the church. And through the church, so the world will see a demonstration, a verifiable miracle that people will say, "You what? How did that happen?" A miracle that you can't attribute to doctors. And God works through doctors. I'm not against medication because I believe that's all part of the healing will of God. You know, I'm not against that. But I think that what God's speaking of is a sign, a wonder, and a healing that He does. That He does. And everybody stands back and say, "Ah, that was God. Oh no, like me." Don't we need to see a whole region saved and come to know Jesus Christ? We need them to step back and go, "Oh no, that upsets my current theology." So we almost need an upsetting sign and wonder. I don't mean to do them bad, but I mean to do them good, because God is good. He wants to do people good. But I want the miracles to upset a few people and their current passivity and a lack of desire to know God. Are you with me this morning? And so I want us to be praying this. God wants us to be praying this. Because you know what happened at the end of that prayer meeting? They got a sign. They got an answer in the same prayer meeting. Shall we have one like that this morning? Shall we have a sign? They actually saw a sign in that place. The building shook and God, I mean, the whole, it was, well, if he wants to, that's fine, because I know whatever he does is safe, but I don't want to be on the top floor currently. But the whole building shook. It was a demonstrative sign of the power of God. Lord, do what's humanly impossible again. That was the prayer. Do what people can say. Oh my goodness, there's a God. And Jesus is his name. In the name of your servant Jesus. Now, we're going to look at a guy called Asa, because his prayer life was interesting. He prayed a similar prayer. Let's look at 2 Chronicles. And he's an interesting man, and I just want to kind of facilitate faith and understanding to move us into the kind of prayer that sees a manifestation of miracles and signs and wonders. Is that okay? So I'm just wanting to build this with using some Old Testament scriptures. And in 2 Chronicles, there's three chapters written about King Asa of Judah. And it's unusual. Not some people don't get much of a mention at all, especially the bad kings. But he was a good king. He was a good leader. And he was born at a time where Israel and Judah had forsaken their God. And they'd adopted some of the gods of the world they were in, the Canaanites. And Judah was in such a bad state. The people of God were in such an awful state that they used to worship Baal to actually supply their needs in terms of provision. The crops, they used to worship Baal and say, "You're the Lord of the crops, you're the Lord of the harvest, give us a good harvest." They even went to the point of sacrificing children to a foreign god, to an evil god. So we are talking about a terrible state in a nation that are called by God to demonstrate who he is. And they'd so far fallen away, they were in moral disrepute. It was terrible. So Asa was born at this time. He was actually Solomon's great-great-grandson. Okay, so look how far things can go downhill. From the glory in the temple to the most wicked things happening. But Asa, for whatever reason, we don't know why, doesn't say, began to seek the Lord. Wowzers. Anybody who begins to do that, things are about to change, especially if you're a leader. If you start to seek the Lord in your family, God's going to bless you. If you start to seek the Lord in whatever area of life, there's going to be a change. God's going to come into your life. And he began to seek God. And as a leader, he had influence. So he began to influence, as a leader, the people, the things he could influence. And that was the nation. And he began to remove all the idols and knock down all the Asherah poles. And he began this kind of cleaning house. We know about that this year, don't we? God wants to clean house. He wants to have his church purified. Because sin actually hinders the blessing of God, let alone is against the Lord. And we grieve the Holy Spirit when we sin. That's the worst part of it. The Spirit in us gets grieved. But we actually hold back the blessing when we don't have a clean heart and a clean life. And so Asa began to say to everybody, come on, let's clean house. Bring out the Hoover, the marigolds, the bleach. Let's get this house clean. And basically it meant the nation, let's see a cleaning up of the false gods and the things that are wrong amongst God's people. And from that moment on, they began to prosper as a people, because a people who seek God will prosper. Say to the person next to you, I'm going to be like Asa. I'm going to seek the Lord. And he will prosper me and all I influence. So they began to build and see amazing prosperity in the nation again. And peace came. But after a while, and this is what I find really interesting, and I think you and I know too well that this happens. Even when you seek God, attacks come. Has anybody experienced that in the last month or two? Began to seek God and you get attack. The enemy is stirred up and he wants to come against what God is building in his church. He wants to come against a people who are going to be world changers. He wants to come against people whom God is using to bring his rule and reign into the earth. So the enemy came against the nation and against Asa in the form of an army. And this army was about a million strong, like a massive army. It says in Scripture they had 300 chariots, which in war terms was a lot then. I know for us we're like, and? But for them it was like massive power. And Judah only had 300,000 men, but none of them had a horse. They just had a shield and a sword. So they weren't really equipped. They didn't have the same power, let alone the same numbers. And this army came against them. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how many are against you, God is for you. It doesn't matter how many rise up against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? I declare that. It doesn't matter what attacks we have. Let me say, Jesus Christ will deliver us out of them all. And so this army comes, and they're standing in their battle positions, and then Asa and this little small but brave army step up to the plate. I mean, I already think that's remarkable. They're standing there, right, taking up their battle position. And they're eyeballing, or trying to eyeball all the million. Imagine standing there looking at a million going, be brave, be strong. For the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be Strong, like, what was that song? It was really good. Can you remember another one quick? I talk about needing faith for the hour. That was the moment they were going, whoa, yeah, here I am, look at them. And Asa, the lead man, he stands up. And verse 11, I've got it on the screen there. Then Asa called to the Lord, his God. So imagine, eyeballing, Asa starts to pray. And said, Lord, there's no one like you to help the powerless. Oh, Jesus, thank you. There's no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name, we have come against this vast army. In other words, they haven't fought anything yet, but they're coming in the name of Jesus, representing the Lord. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals, which actually means spirit realm, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You do not let the enemy triumph. Does anybody want this? Does anybody want to see this? This is a prayer. What a prayer. We rely on you, Lord. We rely completely on you. We trust in you. You are the God who actually is like nobody else, because you're for the weak and powerless, those who can't. Because you want to show you can. What? Why do we pray? Because we need the God who can. Because we can't. Oh, Jesus. Amen. We need God's power. We must have his power. And they pray, trusting the greatness of his compassion, his love, his mercy, to bring change into their situation. Thank you, Lord. What a prayer. And God delivered them. The Lord struck down the enemies and they were totally destroyed. In fact, the army of Judah came back with plunder. Oh, come on. Signs and wonders, the power of God in the early church, they plundered the gates of hell. They took thousands out of the jaws of hell and brought them into the kingdom of heaven. They plundered the devil's camp. They went in and bound the strong man in the name of Jesus Christ and plundered his house. They were a mighty, unstoppable force because they were a praying, trusting people. They didn't cry, they cried to the Lord. They didn't moan and complain. They said, God, we're relying on you. And they saw great deliverance, just like Asa had seen great deliverance. Now, these are the early church were fulfilling what Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. They wanted what God wanted and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. They were doing what Hebrews 11 says to do. That God actually... Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to God must believe he is. Asa's standing there. The early church, when they're praying, we believe in you. We believe. And that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. We're here seeking you for solutions in this battle. And in that time, God brought about such a miracle that everybody knew God had done what they'd asked. It was a manifestation of power. And may the Lord give us eyes to see, to let go of the things that have held us back and say, God, we are reaching out for the goal for which Christ called us. And that goal, part of that goal, is the power. Signs and wonders and healings. That's the goal that Jesus lays before us. And we must reach out, not step back. We mustn't shrink back by the disappointments, but we must move forward into the supernatural power of God. No matter what disappointments, no matter what we see going on around us, we must move forward into this place of depending on God in prayer. And in in chapter 15, I'm not going to, because we're going to come into prayer. We're going to pray this morning. But a prophet comes after all this victory and says, actually, the Lord's with you when you're with him, and when you seek him, you'll find him. But actually, if you forsake him and you stop seeking him, it won't be good for you, basically. Don't stop. Now, if I'm honest, God must have, and he always does, know the end from the beginning. But he knew that the end of Asa's life was not as good as the beginning. Can I issue a warning here from Scripture? Oh, don't let just the beginning be good. Go for the whole life for Jesus. Because after about 25 years, Asa began to get quite comfortable. Prospering, doing well. I don't seek God anymore. I don't need God anymore. And he kind of became a passive. He didn't say he didn't believe in God, but he was a passive believer. He wasn't reaching out for things or miracles. And you know, it's not just about us, because sometimes, you know, in your life, when you really need a miracle, your prayer life doesn't half improve. Hello, anybody say that? I need a miracle, I need a financial miracle, a relational miracle, I need a health miracle. Your prayer life kind of barometer goes shoo, through the roof. But then what can happen is, because if we're not careful, we just pray for ourselves. God deliver us from this. And we forget others need miracles, like the early church. They were actually, their miracles, their prayer was actually for others. We know that you produce signs and wonders, but we're not asking for ourselves. We want the world to see. I want to pray that the world sees, not just me. Come on, church. And when I need a miracle, I need to pray that God will show up and believe and trust him. So yes, it's a personal thing, but it's also, we're here for others. Others who are not yet saved. Others who are not yet healed. Others who haven't seen the power of God demonstrated in their world. And Asa, actually, it's just not a happy ending. A small army 25 years on from this came against them, the people of God. And you know, it says in chapter 16, Asa took the silver and gold out of the treasuries of the Lord's temple. To pay for, let me just summarize what he's doing. He goes into the church coffers, that means offering, and he pulls out the money to pay for help from an ungodly king, from someone who doesn't even know God. So he actually looks to the world for help in a smaller problem. Hello? The big ones, we need God. But this little one's, it's okay. Jesus, it's okay. Don't need you now. No. It's okay. We don't need you. We believe in you, but just step aside. I've got a plan. This is literally what happens. And one of the greatest dangers in your and my life is success. Hello, anybody awake this morning? You're listening to the word success. You're doing well. Your business is prospering. Your family, you're considering a new house, bigger and better. And you're like, oh, I could even have a new car. And this is great. No, it's okay, Jesus. Don't need you anymore. I'm doing great. I don't need to pray anymore. It's okay. And basically, Asa was comfortable, quite happy with his current position, with a plan. It's okay, Lord, I've got a plan. And how many people who are successful come up with a plan but don't need God for the plan and go to the world to actually help pay? This guy robbed God of money. Speaks of the tithe for me. Don't rob God's house. But this guy robbed the Lord. And he was, is after seeing this incredible victory, he went into this incredible place of compromise and dependence on other people and not the Lord. And you know, your prayer life in the good times shows where you're at. I feel that was a weighty comment. Your prayer life in the good times shows where you're at, not just the bad. Because God wants us to seek Him all our days, not just in the bad times, but in the good. Tell somebody next to you, I know it's hot in here, and I'm looking not that inspired to the preacher, but I'm listening. Beware of doing well and stopping the fervency of seeking God, the coming together in the house of the Lord to pray and worship. Beware, because it's one of the ways the enemy will get you success. He'll use it to turn your heart away from seeking God, because you become very comfortable in all that you are and all that you have. So Asa did this, and I can imagine him, you know, this is what happens, and sometimes the Lord allows this to happen. The plan worked. The attacking army actually was sorted. And it's interesting, isn't it, for a while, how sometimes plans of man can work. Is anybody? You see somebody doing well, and they keep on doing well, even though they're no longer in church. Hello? Even though they're no longer following Jesus, they still seem to be doing well, and you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. But the end of a matter is how we see life. Eternity actually will expose the fruit of our lives. And sometimes, you know, we wait for a season to see the fruit of what is being sown or what's happening in somebody's life. Because what you sow today, you will reap tomorrow. Your harvest is always in the future from what you're doing today, especially in your prayer life, your relationship with the Lord. Wisdom builds your life. And Asa, the plan worked. I can imagine his team around him. Okay, this guy's doing well. He's wealthy, nation looks good, beaten this army, and I can imagine him, let's have a party. Or at least an afternoon party. Let's have a glass of bubbly and some chocolate cake. And you can imagine them eating this chocolate cake, going cheers or whatever works with a glass of nice Prosecco, whatever it is. And you can see this chocolate face, like a child. You know, these men. Maybe it's a leg of lamb, I don't know. But there they are, celebrating, high-fiving. Come on, team, high five. Asa, you are hot. You're amazing. You sorted the enemy. You're amazing. Can you imagine them celebrating themselves? We got a victory. Aren't we brilliant? And the prophet pops in to the party. The last thing you want in a selfish, fleshly party is a man or woman of God stepping in to bring the word of the Lord. I'm telling you, he's a party pooper at this point. Because he comes with a word from God. And let's read the word from God. But can you imagine this chocolate face and this bubbly, suddenly everybody going, hey, I was having such a nice time about me. And listen to what the word of the Lord brings up here, the Lord's word through the prophet. And it's 2 Chronicles, I'll find it, 16, verse 7. Hanani, the seer, came to Asa and says, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God. You see, the Lord sees it all. Isn't it interesting how we can't get away with it? Our lives are an open book to heaven. Absolutely sees everything. And he says, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. See, the key is relying on the Lord, seeking God for deliverance. And verse 9, Oh, what a verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Let's just read that again. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself. In other words, to demonstrate, to see a miracle, to see a sign and a wonder of God in their lives or circumstances on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal. All Asa's life and success was based on seeking God. That's the whole basis of success. Kingdom success is based on seeking the Lord, having a heart after God. On your own and corporately, that we're a people who seek God and seek his deliverance, his miracle, his power in our lives. But Asa had resorted to his own strength, his own ideas. His success had bred an independence from God. And his heart, actually, anyone who departs from the living God stops trusting God. Scripture says, it's an evil heart of unbelief. This guy has gone into unbelief, relying on himself and not the Lord. But the good news is that we can read this with the lessons that Asa can teach us and say, I'm not going to do that. I trust. Lord, help me through the grace of your Spirit to seek you all the days of my life and not to depend on my own plans. You see, some guys come up to me, and we've got a leaders' conference this next week. You know, what's your 5-year plan? Huh? How would I know? Jesus knew there are certain things, destinies, promises. But every day he sought the Lord and he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So in other words, I'm getting downloads every day. He lived setting the Lord always before him. I'm like, what? A detailed plan of my future? Are you joking? Not going to happen. But I'm going to seek God and he'll give me the plan when I need to know. Need to know basis. Hello? But I need to set my heart on the Lord always. And because I do that, the devil can't take me out. The devil can't overcome me. He can't win in my life because the Lord will always lead me. Scripture says, lead me in triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. He always leads us in victory when we're being led by him, not by a strategy or plan we ask him to fit into. Anybody? Some people plan to do this, to go there. They've got their careers mapped out. I'm telling you, the map of heaven is often completely different to your map. And it's seeking God that gets the plan and the will of God into our lives, doesn't it? So, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Just imagine this morning, the Lord on his throne doing this in this room. Everybody's being looked at. I'm looking for, but I'm going to have to pass over a few. Because I'm with judgment. Only the Lord knows. Because he knows the heart. Can't fool him. But he's looking for hearts that are loyal to him. In the bad times and in the good times, we're going to trust him and pray. That's what the early church were. The Lord was looking and he came in and he looked at this group of people that met together to pray and cry out, Lord, we don't want to stop speaking your word. We don't want to back off. We want to see your power come right through to show the world that Jesus Christ is alive with signs and wonders. And God had a people whose hearts were loyal in that prayer meeting. And when God saw that, he stopped, just like Jesus with Bartimaeus. Walking along, he stopped. Hang on, we've got one. Somebody's heart is committed to me in every season. I'm going to show myself strong. I'm going to show myself strong. I'm going to prove that I am God in your life. How many of you want to see God in your life and the world to see God in your life? I want to prove that I am in you, that I live and will show myself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal. That means trusting. We're not perfect, guys. It's okay. It's why we need the blood of Jesus. You understand? None of us are perfectly walking with Christ. Our hearts are too. But we all mess up. That's why we need him to forgive us. But I'm not setting my heart on other things and other ways and then coming to church and setting my heart for a moment. My heart is set on Jesus. Amen. And I fix my gaze on the author and perfecter of my faith. I set my heart and my course on Jesus and following him and his word. And he says, I'm going to show myself strong. But remember how he showed himself strong. Through one short prayer. We read it, verse 11. That was quite, you know, some lengthy prayers aren't always faith, are they? We go on and on and on and get nothing. Has anybody prayed on it? Has anybody prayed a lot? Have you ever been with somebody who's praying so long, you're like, I need a break, this is exhausting. Rather than, I know what they're asking, and that's amazing, I agree with that, let's go for it. Rather than long-winded prayers of unbelief. And this is really, in my life, show yourself strong. In my circumstances, show yourself strong. In this region, stretch out your hand to perform healings and signs and wonders so that the name of Jesus will be honored and revered all the way around us. You have the power to draw thousands, not us. With you is the power to draw the lost to Christ. You said you would do this wonderful sign of hundreds, thousands streaming to the goodness of the Lord. But it came through this cry, this reaching out. Show your power, Lord. And if you don't hear anything else, you may even have fallen asleep about the lessons of Asa. Sadly, that would be a sad thing because actually that is quite a correctional but inspirational thing. You can see the blessing of hearts fully committed. You can see when you go your own way with your own plans how damaging that is. But if there's nothing else to say, will you be someone who prays? Show your power. Will we be a people this morning who pray? Show yourself strong. Stronger than cancer. Stronger than multiple sclerosis. Stronger than addiction. You know, there's a drug that's so cheap. Pastor Andrew was telling me, we prayed about it this week. Black mamba spice. And it's a bit like synthetic, but it's like cannabis. But people don't realize it because it's so cheap, they easily buy it. It's a legal high. And they're saying people are losing their minds, their memories, and some are even dying. And I'm like, show your power. In this generation, we do not want to see young people's lives lost. But we don't just want to help them by drugging them with something else. We want them to be set free through the power of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a gospel of power to deliver people out of what they're in and into freedom. That's the power of the gospel. Jesus was not talking about just words. He was speaking about power. And we need to be praying that God, show your power here. Show your power in this week coming. Show your power in my family to save those who do not even want you at the moment. Show your power to deliver this generation from addiction to drugs, to pornography, to all kinds of things that are going on. God is able. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. But we've got to raise our faith to lay hold of the greatness of God. Whatever you're struggling with, God wants to show himself strong in that situation. Whatever your issues going on, show yourself strong. Shall we stand? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.